Well, much has been written about the value of communing with nature. When we get outside, as I'm sure at least some of you have done these past few days when it wasn't raining, when we had those nice balmy temperatures, you went outside and you enjoyed the fresh air. Now, of course, we know if you've been listening to the weather that we're about to do what we tend to do this time of year, take the plunge and go into the cold weather again. I've lived in Georgia all my life, I can pretty much tell you that the weather here will change, just give it a few days, unless it's about mid-June to maybe first to mid-September, then it's just hot. It's just hot. But right now, if you don't like cold weather, hang on. It'll be warm in a few days. And if you don't like warm, well, you're about to be really happy. But I now know why I am one of those people who likes to play in the dirt, to get out there and dig and plant and cut my grass and just get that feeling of dirt in my hands. And yes, I do try to wear gloves, but sometimes I don't even bother. I just really want to feel that dirt in my hands. And now I know why. It is because there is a natural antidepressant in the soil. Did you know that? It is called Mycobacterium vaccae. Say that fast three times. It has a similar effect on the neurons as the antidepressant Prozac. Mycobacterium vaccae may actually help to stimulate the production of serotonin, which is what Prozac helps to do. And that stimulation of the production of serotonin may exactly explain why, when I was a little child, I loved to make mud pies, and why I so enjoy now doing anything that has to do with being outside in the yard, digging in the dirt. We gardeners have long extolled the therapeutic value of being outside and digging in the dirt. And now I also know why, for years, I would jokingly call my work out in the yard my dirt therapy. Come to find out, it really is therapy. But before I go any farther with this, I want to insert a little parenthesis here about what I am about to say. If you have been diagnosed with depression, and you have been prescribed medication and perhaps some talk therapy as an adjunct to that medicine, please do not construe anything I am about to say that you should not be taking that medication. We take medication for our hearts, for our lungs, for our kidneys, for all sorts of things. So please know that people who suffer from the disease of depression also have to take medicine, just as those who have heart problems or anything else. But sometimes we do feel mired in the muck, stuck. And I think that may have been where the writer of today's psalm was. The way ahead may seem unclear. It may seem murky. And can the answer really be as simple as playing in the dirt? Well, playing in the dirt is one thing, but getting mired in the mud is a totally different thing. King David, who was said to have written many of the Psalms, and perhaps this one that we just heard, may have been one who found himself in the desolate pit and the miry bog of this psalm. And if David was the writer of this psalm, he may have very well felt overwhelmed by life. He may have well been in despair. After all, there was that ill-advised action he had taken by becoming involved with Bathsheba and sending her husband Uriah out to war so that he would be killed. Or perhaps the psalmist David was in despair because yet again one of his enemies was after him. But whatever was going on, the writer of this psalmist felt what we feel. There are things that cause us despair of varying degrees a lot of times. Each one of you have experienced despair of some sort in your life. Perhaps that despair was caused by the fact that you lost your job or you didn't get into the college that you wanted to get into. Perhaps your pet, as I said earlier during the children's sermon, has been very ill and you're not sure he or she is going to survive. Your teen has looked you in the eye and said to you, "I hate you." You realize that every day you come home from work or after you put your children to bed, you end up consuming a whole bottle of wine. Difficult situations can put us knee-deep in mud that feels more like quicksand because we can't seem to pull ourselves out. And again, I'm not talking about dealing with depression or some other kind of mental illness. But when we are in these moments of despair, personal despair, how might we get out? What might we do? Well, one thing we don't do is blame someone else for a situation that we have created ourselves. It's much easier when we're mired in the mud to blame someone else, to think that we free ourselves from responsibility by laying the blame for what has happened on someone else. But that's really not the way we should respond. When we refuse to look head on at circumstances that have been of our own creating, and let's face it, folks, a lot of the things that happen to us are the result of our own decisions, our own actions, and they put us in the miry bog. But if we put the responsibility for being in that miry bog on someone else besides ourselves, we're probably going to stay there for a while, and we don't have to. Because one of the ways to get out of the miry bog, besides taking responsibility for ourselves, is to step outside. In an article titled Natural Medicine, Gail Boss has written, "Of course, we try to make sense of things. That's human nature. But logic doesn't usually help much in shoring up our hearts." And poet Mary Oliver, whose poetry we are going to be using during the upcoming season of Lent, suggests a way to restore our hearts. Step out to the shore, or the mountain, or the river brook, or the desert, and pay attention. So step outside, literally. Step outside of the edifices we have surrounded ourselves in, whether it be this church or our houses or our offices or the malls or wherever we are. Step outside. Play in the dirt or breathe in the fresh air, the air that smells and feels, I think, different from the air that we are breathing in here. Perhaps take a walk in the woods and smell that earthy smell of as the leaves and the different things are decomposing. And appreciate those different aromas that you smell To me, there's nothing much more glorious than the smell of freshly mown grass. And look at the difference. Observe, pay attention. Look at the difference between leaves of an oak tree and the leaves of a maple tree. And bend down and touch the plants that are on the forest floor or even in your yard. One of the plants in my yard is something called lamb's ear, and I love to go and just run my fingers over it because it's called lamb's ear for a reason. It feels like a lamb's ear. It's so soft and velvety. You can also, besides stepping outside, you can step outside of yourself. In other words, do something for someone else. Don't be so focused on yourself and your despair that you don't notice what might be going on in the life of someone else who's around you. Take your mind off your own miry bog and perhaps lend a hand to help someone else climb out of theirs. Another way to be delivered from the muck of desolation is to shift. Literally, shift our position. There was a hiker in the southwestern desert of the United States who had missed the entrance to a canyon that he wanted to go and see and hike in. For some reason, he was just walking around and didn't notice what really was just a very small entrance and a narrow pathway that opened up into this canyon. So he retraced his steps, kind of bent this way and paid attention, and he found the entrance. And he went down that entrance, and it was very narrow sometimes. He could barely squeeze through. But eventually, in a few moments, he got to the opening of the canyon, and he saw the most beautiful sight. Sometimes there appears to be no way out. And when that's the case, sometimes when we shift our position, we can see new possibilities. We open ourselves up to a different way of looking at things. When we shift our position, we may be able to attack a problem from a different perspective, we get a different view than the one we've been seeing before. When we shift our position, we may be able to let go of assumptions that we've held maybe our entire life, but all of a sudden we see, yes, something I heard somebody say the other day that I thought was off target may actually be on target. To shift our position may mean that we embrace some new ideas that we've previously disregarded. To shift our position may mean that we acknowledge that we're wrong and the other person is right. The way we have done things before doesn't always work when we're stuck in the mud. So we need to look at other possibilities, shift our position, and recognize there may yet be another way. Another way we can get out of the mire of despair is by expressing gratitude. And that may be the opposite of what you may feel that you want to do when you are in those moments of despair. The writer of this psalm writes, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God." And yes, it is hard to praise God when we are stuck in the mud. But if we can do so, it might help us to see things in a different way. If we can trust that God is present with us in the mud, even if we don't feel God's presence with us, we may change our perspective. The despair may lift, or we may see in this despair an opportunity that God has presented to us. You may doubt what I'm saying here. Yeah, sure. You don't know about my moments of despair, Susan. Well, there was a book written about 20 years ago titled Sleeping with Bread, and it speaks to the power of presence. The book opens with the story of children who had been left orphaned by the ravages of war. One night, the people who ran the orphanage, the children who lived there, discovered that some of the children had taken a portion of the bread that they had had with their evening meal, had taken it to bed with them, and had it, and were grasping it in their little hand. They went on to discover, those folks that ran the orphanage, that prior to coming to that orphanage, the children would go days sometimes without any food, without anything to eat. They often did not know where their next meal would come from. And although they now had regular meals at the orphanage, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, some of them found comfort. They found comfort in the presence of that piece of bread wrapped in their little hands as they went to sleep, because they knew, because that bread was present in their hand, that when they woke up, they would have something to eat. Trusting in God's presence in our lives can change our perspective. It can help us when we are in the muck, when we're in that miry bog, when we are stuck. Trusting in God's presence reminds us that we are never alone. Our circumstances may not have changed. What put us in the muck may not have changed. But something within our hearts may have changed. I don't know where you are today. You may be stuck down in that miry bog, trying to work your way through it. Or you may be just fine. Wherever you are right now, know that just like those little children who grasped that bread in their little palms, knew that that bread would be with them when they awoke the next morning, know that the living bread, the bread of life, is with you always and every time and everywhere. And for this, we give thanks to God. Amen.